Kes, Brother and Sister, Day 8. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, April 22, 1903. Dear Brother and Sister Kress, at times I have a great desire to see you and talk with you, but this I cannot now do. I can talk to you with my pen only. The General Conference is in the past. It pleased the Lord to give me strength to attend this meeting. He is very merciful and gracious. Although I had many perplexing questions to consider, I was strengthened to bear my testimony. If after presenting to our people the words that God gives me, I could have sure evidence that these words are received, I should be relieved of a heavy burden. But I greatly fear that the watchman, whose business it is to be on guard, who should be quick to perceive the dangers before the people of God, and to take every possible means to prepare them to withstand the temptations of the enemy, are some of them blind. In all our institutions, watchmen of experience are needed to guard every post of duty, lest the enemy steal in and cause an influence to pervade our institutions that will do injury to many souls. I plead with God, in the name of Christ, to help his people not to continue to occupy the position pointed out in the message. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Revelation 3, verse 14 to 17. Shall this continue to be the condition of the people claiming to be Seventh-day Adventists? No one need remain in this condition, which makes men so abhorrent to the Savior that he cannot take their names on his lips. God is weighing the actions of men. Will his people continue to slight his messages of mercy? Will those who claim to be leaders of his people mistake the path that he wants them to follow? Christ says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 16, verse 24. God sent to the church at Sardis the message, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Revelation 3, verse 2, 3. Wherein was their deficiency? It is shown in the words, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead," verse 1. They had a name to live, but as far as exerting a saving influence is concerned, they were dead. They had a form of godliness without the power. There are today in the flock of God shepherds who do not discern their spiritual need, who do not keep the pure principles of truth uncontaminated by worldly influences. They are careless in regard to their own spiritual standing. To them comes the urgent message, "Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Verse 2. Remember how you have received and heard the truth. Receive the messages of warning brought by the Lord's ambassadors. Let not these warnings become dim in your memory. Hold fast and repent. Verse 3. Jesus declares that the Father is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him than parents are to give good gifts to their children.
The Holy Spirit understands man's every necessity. He will bestow upon the earnest seeker that for which he hungers and thirsts. The blessings that God has to bestow are unlimited. We cannot comprehend their height and depth and breadth. All heaven is at the command of those who, realizing their lack of wisdom, come directly to the source of all wisdom. To such ones, God gives liberally and upbraids not. But let them ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. James 1, verse 6. The one who receives wisdom from on high is the one who holds fast to the promise, the one who feels his need and will not be turned aside. Divine grace can be forfeited by a misapplication of the rich treasure. Every teacher in our schools, every medical worker, every shepherd of the sheep and lambs is in positive need of the Holy Spirit. Let God's servants work in sincerity, with humility, and with purity of purpose. God has spiritual power in store for every diligent seeker. There is power for all who will seek for it with an intensity of earnestness. These will become partakers of the divine nature, for they have cooperated with God.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2, verse 12. All self-sufficiency, all desire to dictate to others, all pride and selfishness must be cast out. These things belong to the enemy's stock in trade. All may have hope who desire to be laborers together with God in his great plan for soul saving. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 13. Spiritual influence is given to them to be increased by a right use. They will be given an enlargement of power proportionate to their desire to do the will of God. The influence given them will greatly increase their usefulness, unless they forfeit the blessing by selfishness, by a misuse of the entrusted gift. The Lord is greatly dishonored when wrong practices are carried on by the ministers or the lay members of his church. These wrong practices arouse a spirit of alienation and strife and fault-finding. God sees beneath the surface. He reads the heart of everyone who is following evil ways. He says to all, I know thy works. Revelation 3, verse 1. How many times those misusing the precious gifts of heaven read these words and yet make no change in the life? We must arouse from our spiritual slumber. We must be born again. There is a lamentable decay in religious experience. A truly godly life is rarely seen. The sins of the church are charged upon the church by one who never makes a mistake. The sins of a wrongdoer will remain upon him until he clears his soul from the impurity and falsehood and makes straight paths for his feet. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 4. What higher honor could be bestowed on human beings? They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Because of their faith, this honor is bestowed on them. In this life they did not boast or lift up their soul unto vanity. With intensity of desire, with a pure and holy faith, they grasped the promise of eternal riches. Their one desire was to be like Christ. Their earnestness was proportionate to their intensity. Ever they kept the standard of righteousness uplifted. To them is given an eternal weight of glory, because on the earth they walked with God, keeping themselves unspotted from the world, revealing to sinful human beings the righteousness of Christ. Of them the Savior declares, "They shall walk with me in white, in robes of honor and glory, in the world that I have prepared for them. He that overcometh,
the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 5. Christ is their Redeemer, the captain of their salvation. He leads them to the Father, saying with triumphant joy, Here am I and the children whom thou hast given me. Isaiah 8, verse 18. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voices of harpers, harping with many harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, but they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Revelation 14, verse 1-5. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God for ever and ever. Revelation 7, verse 9-12.